I have the honor and the pleasure to present our brother, Smith Brickhouse, dearly known to all of us as Buzz, or Hey You, or come here, what you call it. He's been a great friend, he's been a brother, he's been a fellow servant, he's been a child of God, he's been honored in bug dust. That's what his mother told me when we used to go up and travel up to Wisconsin. But I know earnestly that Buzz's only desire is to glorify God's name through serving his brothers and sisters. And I've seen him, I've experienced him, I've discussed with him, and each and every time, whether we agreed or disagreed, whether we came out to a draw, there was never a question of the love, the respect, and the strength that was present when you work with someone as considerate as Buzz. And so I offer you, with great anticipation, because I believe we ought to be anticipating the great feeding and blessing that we all came here to partake of. And I would ask you to earnestly pray that our God would lead us, not that His will would be done, but God's will would be done. And that as we all leave here, we can be a stronger and a loving, a more committed people. I offer you our brother, Smith Percosta.
Thank you, Bob. And I would appreciate your prayers, and it's good to see all your smiling faces out there, and I hope I can keep you awake this afternoon. I know it's hard and it's late, and we've had a long day, but it's been a beautiful day. And I've been thankful for every moment that we've had. I'd like to take the opportunity here, while I can, is to thank all you parents and grandparents that sent your kids to camp. I'm probably going to have a little hard time saying this, but we appreciate them. And we need your help this next year to encourage the kids to come. There was, I think, 99 campers and 9 CITs up there and about 35 staff. And we had a beautiful time. Didn't get much sleep, but we had a beautiful time. In the heat of the battle, Brother Jeff Oldham came in. And he was rubbing his hands. He said, "Boy, if these kids only knew the fun we were having, because we enjoyed it." But I wanna thank you all for your support and your prayers. And I hope and pray, and I know that you'll all continue in your prayers as those kids go back to school this fall. Go back into the world and with the temptations and the trials and the concerns that they have, and we need to remember them. You know, it's our hope that next year we'll have 150 there or some number. And we're looking forward. I want to thank the kids because they were really great. And you saw that today, you know, and their singing and their whole attitude was absolutely terrific, and they witnessed to us of the goodness of God and the love that He has and the fact that there's no generation gap in the Church of Christ. I'd also like to ask you, and Brother Luke Sheldon asked me to tell you that, you know, they send out a newspaper to the kids that are young people's age called The Crossroads, he wants names of more kids that they can send that to, and there would be an outreach, and tells of the youth activities here in Missouri and other places, and it's geared to the teenage kids. So if you have any kids in your congregation, any cousins or nieces or nephews or grandkids or whatever they might be, you know, did you think they might like to get that little newspaper? Luke Sheldon would like to have their name. And you kids, Luke wants some articles. He wants your testimonies. He'll take articles and testimonies from us old folks too. Maybe of some of the camps that you might have had the chance to go to, or the youth activities that you remember in your youth. And he'd appreciate it. I'd like to start out today again saying how thankful I am for the opportunity to be here and to be among you and to enjoy the 3 days of reunion that we've had and the beautiful spirit that's been present. I want us to remember again, you know, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He doesn't change. And His promises, His blessings, His commandments, His beckoning, His love for us never ceases. And we can always call on Him. And as we leave this reunion and go on our way home or travel the highways or have to get back into work or school or whatever it might be, that we get entangled with the world again, we need to remember that Christ is always available to us. Now, you know, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Yeah. But you know what? We're all going to forget it to some extent when we leave here. You know, and our brother last night, you know, talked about the spiritual battle that we're in and the need for us to get to a different level, crank up to a different level, and be mindful of our responsibilities and our relationship to our Heavenly Father and His marvelous blessings that He has available for each and every one of us. I'd like to start off by reading the 55th chapter of Isaiah. And it says, "Lo, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor in your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Why labor? Why spend our time? Why spend our concerns for those things that don't matter? But to partake of our Heavenly Father, that bread of life, that fatness, that blessing that He is, the nourishment. You know, pay attention to where we're going and what we're doing. It says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." Seek the Lord while he is near. Take advantage of the time that we have, the blessings that He's given us, the knowledge that He's blessed us with, the scriptures that He's preserved for us. Take advantage of them. Make them a part of your life. Walk the walk, as somebody said. You know, they had a neat T-shirt that I really got a kick out of. They made at camp. You know, and think about this. In the afterlife, will it be smoking or non-smoking? Got to kind of think a little bit. You know, the first time you read it, what kid had cigarettes out here, you know? But, you know, in the afterlife. That's what this is all about. This is our day of probation. This is our day to work out our salvation. You know, there's no other time. This is it. Incline our ear, seek ye the Lord diligently. Scriptures tell us that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Diligently. And we have to reflect in our own lives, you know, how well we stand up to that commandment or that promise of God. You know, are we diligent? Are we striving? Are we continually attempting to improve our relationship with our Heavenly Father? Are we working to replace the things that are not of Him with Him in our lives? And we each have them. And we, you know, we kind of float along. But as our brothers say, it's a battle. It's a war. And we've got to step up. We've got to make change. We've got to make adjustments. It says, "For your thoughts are not my For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in singing, and all the trees of the field clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What a beautiful promise. Yeah. Again, our day and time is now. Our brother stated, again, Bobby, I'm going to preach your sermon again, if you don't mind, of the spiritual warfare, and I'm going to turn to where he had turned there, to Ephesians, in the 6th chapter. Tenth verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Yeah. Again, our day and time to make our stance, to make our position known, to separate us. Our sister Nancy Harrison this morning said she wants to be different, a good difference. And that's what we're to be. We're to be a different people, a good difference, to let Christ reign in our lives so that people might recognize the love of God that has available for each and every one of them, that we might be able to be used as instruments in His hands. You know, we're not along for the walk, we're here for the march. There's a difference. We're here for a purpose. Each one of us. The body of Christ. In our one of our classes that we give out there, actually it's a class that Joel and I give to 13 and 14 year olds. And we talk about making decisions. And it's what they call the quest class. It's at night. And we give guidelines on how to make right and wrong decisions, and attempt to get the kids to think about and think through different elements, or ask themselves several questions before they decide if something is right or wrong. And I brought those tonight, and I brought a little outline here, and I'm going to go through part of them just to give us a thought, you know, because I want us to take home the spiritual blessings that we've had this weekend, and the encouragement that we see as we look out at our youth and the future of the Church of Christ. And I know and believe you're all as excited as I am. But I know that we've all got to go out and we've got to go out into the world, and we've got to make decisions, right or wrong. And we need these same guidelines. We need these same memories and things to recall that we might, you know, that we might come to that different level, that we might come up and rise up and make a change in our life, a noticeable change for those around us to see the blessings of Christ in our lives. So bear with me here. One of the things we talked about is there's three major decisions, and you know, most of us are in the process or have made these. But as far as the kids go, and that first one is, what are we going to do about this Jesus Christ? You know, are we going to accept Him in our life and make Him part of our life, or are we going to go a different route? You know, a very important decision, and it causes us to make other decisions that might be for the welfare of our soul or not for the welfare of our soul. You know, choosing is life occupation and what we're going to do for a living. It might mean where we go to school or where we live. You know, and you know, that first one determines some, to some extent, that second one, and the need for us to serve Christ in the way that we make our living and our life's ambition. Hopefully, being able to help somebody, providing for our family. That third one is choosing our life's companion, or our wife, or our husband, and picking somebody that has the same beliefs that we do and believes in Christ, and has that desire to serve Him and make Him a part of the family and the home, that His Spirit might be there in abundance and guide and direct you as you're raising your kids. And for those of us that haven't made those decisions, you know, we need to be praying about those decisions in our life. For those of us that are contemplating baptism, coming into the body of Christ, we need to make it a matter of prayer and let the Lord direct you and guide you, that you might feel His Spirit. For those of us that have already done that, we need to pray continually that we might be able to endure, that we might have the strength to bring about the cause of Christ in our life, that it might help us in our jobs. We need to continually looking at where we're making our living and what we're doing, and to ask the Lord to come into our families, to help us to maintain the family structure, that it might be made stronger. Because you know, old Satan is out there and he's tearing us apart. And I don't believe there's one family among us that hasn't had some problems and trials. And it's a shame. But we can't let it get us down. We've got to stand. We've got to get our strength. We've got to diligently seek Him. And we can overcome the things that drag us away and pull us apart and tears at our hearts and separates us from God. You know, we're not any different than any of those kids that are up there. We need the same encouragement. We need the same memories. We need the same blessings. We need the prayers of our brothers and sisters earnestly, that we might be able to continue in the way and overcome our faults and things that separate us from God. We talked a little bit about how levels of decision making, you know, and one is that instinctive level, you know, that I have a lot of. When I'm hungry, I eat. Instinctively, you do certain things. You know, you react. You don't think. Another one is the customary level. It's what, you know, you react to things because that's what you're used to. And it might be the, you know, well, that's a lot of different. It's the traditions or whatever it is that might be in your families or your culture or whatever. And the next one is a conscience level, and that's something that you decide about because you've studied it out and you're convicted. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. You have to know where you are on it, but you know that you've had well thought out, you on a position on something, and you know where you stand and you know why you stand. But you know, the final thing, the final decision, the final input has to be the law of God and what it says. And you know, we have feelings. We have instinct, you know. We have what we're used to and is customary in our society. And a lot of us, you know, we also have that conscience level, the convictions that we know, you know. But it's got to compare. And we've got to ensure that we're in line with the Word of God and our beliefs and where we stand. And we've got to humble ourselves before our Heavenly Father that He might help us reach that point. You know, that we might, that our conscience level and the Word of God might be in harmony. Another thing we tell them that, you know, there's a way to tell if something's right or wrong, you know, how does it affect us? You know, if it's going to hurt, don't do it. You know, if it's hot, don't touch it. You know, and that's a simplistic way of putting it, but you know, before you do something, you know, what's the effect going to be on me or on us? You know, then it's important that we go through the thought process of how it might affect others. You know, how, what are others going to, is it going to hurt somebody else or are they going to feel bad about it? Or what's their effect going to be? And that final one is, you know, what's the effect on the cause of Christ? You know, if we have something that we're contemplating doing, and we go through and we don't, well, it's not going to hurt us, and really it's not going to hurt anybody else. You know, but we've got to be conscious of to be different, to be good different, like Nancy was talking about. We've got to know how it affects, how our actions affect the cause of Christ. And is God going to be glorified in our activities? Think about it. Take those things home with you and find out where you are. And ask yourself about your activities and its effect on the cause of Christ and a promotion of the Church of Christ and the Gospel of Christ. Another little test is, you know, if it's something that we tell the kids, you know, if it's something that you have to do in secret, you know, probably not right. If you're worried about somebody else, if you're worried about that it says on tomorrow morning's paper, you know, Al Harris did this, you know, and if he's worried about that, maybe you shouldn't do that, or any of us, you know. The test of universality, you know, is it okay if everybody else does it, you know. A couple years ago, we were given this, for instance, and we had the kids going one day in a scenario, and we were talking about rock concerts. You know, and, you know, I don't care if it's on the front page of the paper that I went to a rock concert. You know, and we got into the test of universality. No, it's okay if my parents go. You know, and then I said, "Well, is it okay if I go?" And he says, "No way, a ministry can't go there." Tilt. You know, didn't pass that test. You know, it's the same, no generation gap, same commandments, same rules for each of us. You know, the next one is, you know, is it something you can feel you can pray about? Can you turn it? Is it a question that, you know, you don't know whether to do? And is it something you can turn over to the Lord? And if you're embarrassed to turn it over to the Lord, don't be involved with it. The next thing I want to show is, brought me to this point was, Joel and I were sharing a class, and I was supposed to be helping him at this particular evening, and got called to a phone, emergency phone call about that young baby, and I came back, and he had to give that whole class, but I've got good notes. And I'm going to use it today. And this next one is something that we talk to the kids about, and it's stewardship. And in a lot of respects, our brother Frank Fan preached on that the other night. The duties of the members of the body of Christ. And that first one, you know, what's a steward? A steward is a servant, a steward is a slave, a steward is one that's given the responsibility for the care of something. Okay. And in our Christian stewards, you know, we're all to be stewards. We're all to be in care of the things that the Lord has blessed us with, you know, in our possessions. We're responsible to our Heavenly Father, not only for our tithes, that we pay our tithes to the church and to God, and that we, you know, give the 10% to God, because He gives us the 100%. You know, but we're responsible for the other 90 and what we do with it. And in the way we spend it and the way we use it, is an honor to God. Or are we using it for things that we shouldn't be involved with? Or are we misusing it and you know, throwing it away or gambling it or whatever that doesn't bring about something that draws ourselves or our family or our loved ones or our neighbors, those around us, you know, to the cause of Christ? We're responsible to be good stewards, to using our material possessions to glorify God. And are we doing it? Or are we accumulating excesses or wasting it and being slothful? We're stewards of our body. Scriptures tells that we're to be I'm not good at remembering Scripture, and I better read this one. Romans 12:1. Everybody knows where I'm going. I just don't want to misquote it because everybody else knows it. I beseech you, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. To be a good steward of God and the blessings He's given us. To be a good steward of our body and to make our body and our lives a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. To be diligent. It says it's our reasonable service. It's what's expected of us. It's what the Lord desires of us. That we live our daily lives attempting to serve Him in all the things that we do. Now, the Scriptures tell us our body is the temple of God. Think about that. And the need for us to care for our physical body and our spiritual body. We're responsible as the body of Christ. We're responsible as individuals. We're responsible to God to be good stewards. We're to be good stewards of our personality and all the things that make up our mental disposition. You know, we're told to humble ourselves and do different things. I'm going to read out of the Scriptures, out of Titus. Second chapter. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in, in faith and charity and patience. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. And he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, not showing all good fidelity, that they may adore the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We're responsible to God for our actions, for our disposition, for how we treat others, for how we behave, for what we do with our time and our energies and our possessions. That next one is time. You know. Oh, we never have enough time, do we? Well, we're to be good stewards of time. We're to care for our time and planet. We're to ensure that we have time to serve our Heavenly Father and to study the Scriptures and go to Him in prayer and prepare to help others and take time to go and visit, take time to study, take time to bring words of encouragement, take time to work on the building at church, to cut the lawn, to help the neighbor, to do all those things that we all want to do. We never have time. But we have all the time that there is. We just have to learn to be good stewards of the time and to plan our activities and to write down the things that we do and to cross off those things that don't glorify God and meet our objective. You know, time, good steward. That's what gets away from each one of us, doesn't it? You know. But when you go home and you're there and you're reflecting of a beautiful time and the spiritual high that we've had this weekend as we've been here among the body of Christ and the enthusiasm that we've gotten from the kids, you know, let's spend some time and planning on being good stewards, looking at what we're doing with our earnings and our possessions and our disposition and our time and our own body. Good stewards. You know, another element of being a good steward is how we use our influence. You know. And we all have an influence on people. You know, a young sister said, I want to be an example. We're all an example. It's the kind of example we want to be. You know, is it a positive example or a negative example or a lukewarm example? You know, our influence, how we react and act with others. We're responsible to God to be a good steward of our influence. You know, the kids in their language, it's called peer pressure. Influence. and how they use it. And there's good peer pressure and there's bad peer pressure. And we have to be accountable to God how we use it. You know, we have an influence with our own children and with our own family. And with the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We have an influence at the store that we go to and the people that we interact with at work and how we treat them. And if it's pleasing and if some way that God can be glorified in our action. And they might know and recognize that we're that peculiar people. That we're different, that good different that Nancy talks about and yearns for. Then we have the stewardship of the gospel of Christ. Think about that. We're the body of Christ. The church of Christ. And we're to be good stewards of the gospel of Christ. In our life, how we live it, what we do with it, how we teach it, who we witness to, and are we doing that? Yeah. We have a unique requirement in the Church of Christ. Because we believe that the Church of Christ sat here on this earth, went into apostasy for 1260 years, and that there was a need for it to be restored. So we have a unique requirement in our stewardship of the gospel, and that's the restored gospel. To know it, to preach it, to exhort it, to live it in our lives. And we of the Church of Christ have to remember that we are the ones that are responsible. There's not anybody else to do it. You know, that's our belief. We have a misconception sometimes about the restoration and its meaning and its pattern. There's a misconception that there's factions of the restoration today. And that phrase just doesn't make sense. There can't be fractions of the restoration. It wouldn't be the restoration. There is a restoration. And it's within the Church of Christ. We have to remember that. That is our responsibility to teach and to preach to our children, our grandchildren, and to all those around us. The Church of Christ and its doctrine. You know, there was a church that was restored on April 6, 1830, you know, by the power of God. And that was going to be an everlasting kingdom that would overtake all the other kingdoms. And it didn't say there was going to be a several few small kingdoms that were going to rule, but it was going to be one. We have a misconception sometimes to allow ourselves to be called the Temple Lot Church. We're the Church of Christ with its headquarters on the Temple Lot. We're not the Hedrickites. We're not a faction of the Restoration. We are the restored Church of Christ and nothing less. And we have the responsibility to be good stewards of that restoration, good stewards of the Church of Christ, to preach, to teach, and to stay within the doctrines that are taught in the Scriptures. To diligently seek our Heavenly Father to ensure that we're on that straight and narrow path, that we haven't allowed ourselves to deviate, that we haven't separated ourselves, that we haven't left the restoration, that we haven't become a copy, but that we're the original, the same as the original. And there's a difference in its value and in its authority and its power and its might. Brothers and sisters, we're slothful, each of us. I had a young man come up to me at camp, one of the older kids, and he said, "I'm ashamed. I don't know what I need to be knowing about the restoration." The kids my age, and he's talking about 18, 19, and 20-year-olds, okay? We don't know what we need to know about the gospel of Christ and why we believe and the things that we believe and the truthfulness. We don't have the tools to teach others and to have that understanding. We believe, but we don't know why we believe. Brothers and sisters, we need to know. Each one of us need to know that if somebody walks up to us and believe, and asks us what we believe and why we believe it, we need to know that. We need to know it by looking into the Scriptures and getting to those references and saying, this is why we believe that. Because God Almighty had the things preserved for us. And He doesn't change. And this is His Word. And nobody can back us down. Nobody dare change the Word of God. And it's the common element that we can always go to. We need to reinforce this in our congregations, in our families, and wherever we go. Because the souls of mankind depend on it. That's the importance of it. That's the battle we're in. We're but a few. And the Lord is waiting for us. He's encouraging us. He has given us the tools, and we need not to be slothful. We need to be diligent and learn them. We need to begin to teach it. We need to begin to look within the Scriptures ourselves. And why do we believe what we believe? And I'm talking about myself too. I mean, when this young man came up to me, you know, in all humility, embarrassed, tears in his eyes, and he said, "I'm ashamed." Our brother the other night, Brother Frank Fan, and brothers and sisters, if you think Frank Fan was talking to us the other night, you're mistaken. That was the power of our Heavenly Father, preaching, teaching, and exhorting to us, admonishing us to do the things that we're responsible as the members of the ministry, as the members of the body of Christ. I want us, each of us, to be convicted. I want us to go home with an assurity that we're going to make a change. That we're going to do something different this year. We're going to know why we believe what we believe. The scriptural references. The testimony. The latter-day revelations, that we might be able to stand, as it says in Ephesians, firm. That we might be able to endure. That there might not be anybody that has a question about the gospel of Christ that we don't know where to find that answer. That we can sit down and witness to them of the things that have been preserved in the Scriptures for that very purpose, that aren't changed by the traditions of men and the customs and the doctrine of men, but that are engraved in those Holy Scriptures. That's our task. And if nothing else, you know, as Bobby said, you know, we got to move up to a different level. We've got to increase our desire and the effectiveness of our activities and what we're doing. We've got to be better stewards. And I know we can come to the challenge. We know that. I have great encouragement because God's on our side, isn't He? We know that. He desires that we come, that we yield, that we submit ourselves, and He's promised He'll teach us. Yeah. We've gone down into the waters of baptism. We've received the power of the Holy Ghost.
and we need to use it in our lives to bring us wisdom and discernment and instruction. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that there are so many people right here, right now, Sunday evening of the reunion. I'm encouraged to see all the young, smiling faces. You know, it's really encouraging. There's an awful lot of kids that are younger than 12 years old that can start coming up. I'm encouraged because I see dedicated parents and grandparents. But I'm admonishing us that we've got to increase. There's a song, page 119 in our hymnal. And we've got to rise up to the challenge. It says, "Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings." Rise up. Make a change. Make a difference. Get above the level that we're currently at. Make improvements. "Rise up, O men of God. His kingdom tarries long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end the night of wrong." Any of our shortcomings or any of our iniquities or in our sins and those things that drag us away and make us slothful, we've got to be able to put them aside. We've got to be able to focus in and be that good steward that God requires of us, that He needs of us, the body of Christ, that He cries for us. "Rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. Lift high the cross of Christ. Tread where His feet have trod. As brothers of the Son of Man, rise up, O men of God. Bring it up a notch. Make a change. Don't procrastinate. Use the thoughts that we have felt this weekend and in the last 3 days. Think of the enthusiasm of those kids. And that's how enthusiastic we're to be for the gospel of Christ. You know, they've been a good example for us. You know, our time is right now. You know, we're going to go on and we're going to leave this reunion. And we'll probably read in the Advocate about a report on it. And we're going to go home and tell a few people about it, and then old Satan's going to start scarfing up our time and our thoughts and our activities and confusion and that. But we can't allow that. We know we have to remember, brothers and sisters, to pray continually. To pray continually for one another, is that song the men's choir sang. To petition the Lord for direction, for instruction, to pray for our ministry. The next 3 days, our ministry will be meeting in a minister's conference. We need your prayers, brothers and sisters. And I know we have them. We need more of them. We need your help. We're human. We make mistakes. We lose our patience. We get involved in the world. And we shouldn't. We need your strength behind us. And we give thee thanks for the things that you've given us. And I don't mean to be a downer on this. I'm just saying that we've got to step up. We've got to stand. I'm going to read on page 162 in the Book of Mormon. Talking about enduring to the end. And after we've entered in by the gate and the need to continue on. It says, "Now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into that straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done." Yeah. And many of us, it's been many years since we've gone down into the waters of baptism. Yeah. And we had a young sister that was just baptized. And there's four or five kids up here at this local who are just baptized. enthusiastic, and we look and we remember those days and we were like that. But, you know, we've got to endure. We've got to hang on to that rod of iron and reach the goal of eternal life. We've got to be faithful. It's choices. You know, our brother the other night, Placido, talks about the victorious life, and we make choices. And that's what we're going to do tomorrow. It says, behold, I cannot say, is all done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, if you have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, relying wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, shall have eternal life. That's what He desires for us. That's what He desires for mankind. And it's a responsibility for us to not only to stay on that straight and narrow path, but to let our light shine and to bring the gospel of Christ, the restored gospel, to the world for their soul salvation, that they may have what we all desire, eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there's none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. Let's not go home empty-handed. Let's go home with the thoughts of being good stewards. Let's remember a need to have care for our earthly possessions and what we do with them in our time and our body and our influence and what we're doing with the gospel of Christ, that we might be good stewards, that we might be able to overcome in this battle. For we know that through Christ we can overcome all things. Thank you.
Okay, it's test time.